trying to keep up with those changes. The next great gadget, the next iPad, the next phone. And if you have a great working gadget, then it's, you know, they've got upgrades. And if they get two versions ahead of you and you upgrade, then your phone dies and you have to upgrade and forced upgrade. Technology is just saturating. I can't even keep up with it, and I'm a computer guy. We're saturated with information. We are more interconnected, more plugged in, more tuned in on what's happening across the world. Sometimes I wish I did not have Facebook so I did not know what was going on in some of people's worlds. Summer is here, and parents have more options than ever for their kids. There's more clubs, more sports, more this that they can participate in during the summer, and more that they can participate. As a result, parents are running kids around to and fro, and I got to drop this one off and this one off. That's why when they turn 16, parents rejoice. They can drive themselves. As a single adult, you may face the challenge of juggling church events, social events, school, relationship, and all that takes money, so you have to fit in a job as well. Life is busy. Life is busy. Daniel 12, verse 4 says, "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." It is tiring just to think about it sometimes. Try to actually figure out what's available for a new phone, and that's exhausting. I get tired looking at my calendar when I am trying to meet with the student ministry leaders, and it's like, all right, let's meet. I'm like, well, I'll find a date. I'm out, like, I just did this with one, and it's tomorrow or 3 weeks from now, because I've got youth camp, prepping for youth camp, this and that and this and that. It's easy enough in our own minds to get weary, but the enemy is working overtime to wear out the saints of God. He may not cause situations or circumstances or things that we plan in our lives, but he'll use them to try and wear us out. And so we must be aware of his tactics and have the appropriate response in our lives. Church, don't wear out. Don't wear out. The first area that we can get weary in is simply life. There is so much going on, as I just said. The enemy uses this by slipping in oftentimes seeds of discontent in our lives, where we can easily become unthankful or ungrateful for where we are in life. Why? Because so-and-so has a better car, and man, that's what the world says, and we can just get into the materialistic realm of thinking, or just, man, their kids are involved in this sport, so I should put my kids, and it's not fair to my kids if they're not, and oh man, all the young adults are going here, so I have to go. And there's this, it can become such a discontent. We look at the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 11, 4 through 6, it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes.'" Here's people who had just come out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. They crossed the Red Sea. They saw the many miracles after miracles, water in the desert, in the wilderness. And now here is manna. God is providing for them. They don't have to go hunt for it. They wake up and it's on the ground. Yet they begun to grumble and complain. My goodness, we used to have fish and cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. Minor detail that we were slaves, you know. You know, but all slavery and beatings and manual labor aside, we had cucumbers. Now, I can understand if it was like pizza and, you know, but cucumbers, no taste, probably like manna, just wet. I don't know. I don't know if manna was wet. Manna. So they're getting discontent in just the daily life, in the provisions of God. 2 Timothy 3 says, 1 and 2, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." out of our weariness in our daily lives, we can too easily get to a place where we're like, I don't have that great of a job. Man, I wish I had a better job. I don't have that great of benefits. I got to do this for my family, that for my family. Man, as the provider of my home, I got to go to work another day. I'm only in an apartment. I can't afford a house. Man, I just wish I could get above this status of life. I only drive a 94 Acura Legend that has no horn, only one working speaker on the right side, my wife's side, a tape deck, and no CD player. Not that that's me or anything. I don't have that car. The enemy will try to wear us out through our daily lives and cause a discontent that we're not here or we're not there or we have to do this or we have to do that. So what should our response be? Well, how do we fight this tactic of the enemy to get wear us out? It's simply with a thankful spirit, a grateful heart. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. Make no mistake. Thank God for that word tonight. That was so powerful. Make no mistake, he is God. It's he that made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. I think we should give a hand clap to the Lord for all that he is in our lives. We may not have the fancy car, the house, the clothes that we once had or we could have, but thank God I have a roof over my head. Thank God I'm not strung out on drugs. Thank God I'm not living in sin and just all the effects of that. We may have to do a lot for our families, may have to provide for our families, but thank God for my family that they're healthy, that I can be a great mom or a great dad or a great husband or wife. Colossians 3:15 sums this up. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. When we're thankful, the tactics of the enemy, we can't get worn out with daily lives because, like, you know what? Yeah, I'm stressed, but you know what? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for this. Thank God for that. Not only does life happen and we're busy, but life happens and things sometimes don't go right. We have trials that come, situation that causes worry or anxiety. We look at the life of David, and two times, and there's probably more times, but two scriptures I found in Psalm 6:6. This is David saying, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Psalm 69:3, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. The enemy can use our trials, can use the situations in our lives to wear us down. He can bring thoughts of, you're not worthy. God doesn't really care about you, else he would have solved it. God's not listening. Hello, obviously, because you're still in the situation. You deserve this stress because of X, Y, and Z. But that is just a tactic of the enemy to wear us out, to wear us down. And so how do we fight? How do we respond? First option, first response is by waiting on the Lord. What a beautiful song, Cover Me, that Sister Vicky wrote. And just being able to really sit back and having or going through a trial to be able to sing that kind of song and just be able to bask in the presence. God, yeah, cover me when all things are just a mess in my life. I'm battered, I'm bruised. Isaiah 28:11-12 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. There is a refreshing. There is a rest. There is a peace in the Lord. Isaiah 40:27 says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. But it's in the midst of the storm that we need to take time to wait on the Lord. To just, you know what, God, yeah, I got a lot going on, but I'm just going to bask in your presence. To trust in you, Lord. We need to spend time in his presence. The Bible speaks of peace that passes all understanding. God, I want that peace. Cover me, Lord. It speaks of the Holy Ghost being a comforter. God, cover me in this trial, in this situation. The Lord says also that we should give things over to him. Stop trying to deal with it all yourself. Matthew 11:28 through 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When we wait on the Lord, we can fight that weariness through the trial, through the storm that comes. Another response in trials is we can embrace them. I spoke a few weeks ago about how God can bring blessings through the trials of life. James 1:2-4, again, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Again, adversity, trials is the meaning of temptations there. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When we embrace the role of the trials in our life, God can do that perfect work in our lives. After that message a few weeks ago, it was a couple weeks later, than God just dealing with some situations in our lives, my wife and I, God just gave me an incredible thought, and I wanted to share it with you. I've been on a weight loss journey the past few months, and this spring, Fiona and I took up biking, and so we've been bike riding, and it's been a lot of fun, and the last 2 weeks of May was really frustrating because I was biking like I've never biked before, longer miles, more times a week. And yet I got on the scale and I wasn't losing any weight. It was the same. And I was getting so frustrated. Yet at the same time, I went from belt hole number 3 to belt hole number 4. And now I'm at belt hole number 5 today. Ching. But anyways, so I was frustrated because, like, God, why is... I guess I wasn't asking God. I was, Phil, why is the scale, like, still at the same weight? I haven't lost the weight in my life, yet I'm exercising. And the Lord just, I mean, tied it all together. And I'm not a physical guru, so I don't know how all the body technically works. But I do know that as you exercise, you build muscle. And so, yes, you're losing fat, but you're gaining muscle. So there's still the weight there, but you're stronger. And so in our lives, yeah, the weight in our lives may still be there, but when we exercise our faith, exercise our trust in God, our spiritual muscles are getting stronger. And so it's when we respond with embracing our trials and saying, God, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on, but what can I learn? How can I grow? How can I become stronger in you? Lord, we won't get weary. We can just keep going and say, okay, God. Okay, another day. I'll get through another day. Amen. Another area that can cause us to become weary in is our involvement in ministry or our involvement in serving others, doing the work of the Lord. We look at 2 Thessalonians 3:11-15, Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. It says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, etc., etc. So basically, you know what? We hear that there's some people doing nothing. And here you are. I'm just giving my own spin on it. You're doing a lot of work. And I'm sure there's a frustration seeing some people sit on the sideline like, man, we could use some help in this area, or this help calling folks and this help teaching Bible studies. And man, and he's just saying, you know what? Don't be weary in well-doing. Do your thing. The enemy can use our involvement against us when he drops the seeds of division, when he points out how others are not being involved. They're just sitting around when there's work to be done, souls to be saved. My goodness, come on, people. And that can become a seed of weariness in our lives. Like, man, I'm killing myself here. It also can be, he can use our involvement against us by dropping seeds of frustration when maybe we don't see results as we're expecting, or there's no fruit for our labor, or when people we're working with turn their backs on us after we've invested so much in them. We can get to a point of weariness where we ask ourselves, why are we even involved? Maybe I should just take a break and be done with this. But our response, we can fight that weariness by taking a step back and remembering why we're doing what we're doing. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. It shouldn't matter if no one else is doing anything. God has called me to minister and be involved, and I have to apply scripture to myself. I can't apply to, I've got to worry about, okay, am I doing what the scripture says? Okay, I'm involved, and I can't get frustrated. Yes, I want others to be involved, but I won't let myself get frustrated if they don't. It shouldn't matter if we don't see fruits for our labors. We may just be the sower in the situation, or the waterer, or we're just tilling the ground in that person's life or in that ministry. We should remember that someone was patient with us when we were maybe not responding the way and growing in the way that they expected. And so it's a matter of perspective. You know what, God? This is about you. And I'm involved because I want to serve your kingdom, God. And they're your child. And this ministry is your ministry, Lord. And so whatever the situation may be, I'm going to take a step back. Remember, I'm doing this for you. Galatians 6:7-10 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Faint, it means almost a relaxing of our efforts, a sense of giving up. If we faint not, we're going to reap. We just got to keep pressing on. We should keep seeking to do good, to minister to others, because it's all for God and really not for ourselves. It's not our little kingdom of ministry or our little Bible study kingdom. It's all for God. We can overcome the weariness of ministry when we refresh our perspective of why we do what we do. We can also fight the weariness of ministry involvement by having balance in our lives. I'm so passionate about this and speaking to our student ministry leaders and before that, the youth team. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, first scripture says, to everything there's a season, a time, every purpose under the heaven. It goes on to say there's time for this and a time for that, a time to work and a time to simply rest. Church, we need to take out time every once in a while to recoup mentally and physically. The problem is that some take it too far. And it's all rest, and there's no involvement at all. Well, it's family time again for the sixth time this week. And it's like, sorry, I'll come to church on Sunday. It's been family time. I need my rest. Family's important. That's an extreme. But also, there's another extreme where, like, you know what, kids, honey, we got to be at the church for the sixth time this week because, man, there's stuff to do. And we're maybe Sunday afternoon we'll take a nap, and we'll have family time as we sleep. There can be extremes. That's not what God wants for us. He wants there to be balance in our lives. If we have a family, there needs to be family time. We need to schedule family time. I'm so passionate about this with the leaders that I'm over. And I say schedule family time like, oh, my family's above. I'm not going to schedule them. Like, family time should be just relaxed and family time. Well, I understand that and I totally agree. It shouldn't be like, sorry, honey, you're not on the calendar today. Talk to you tomorrow. No, I'm not saying that, but if it's not in your calendar, if you're a busy person, can I tell you good intentions probably won't happen? Monday, it's so cool. Monday nights, it's so funny. Carl, sometimes at 5:30, I text Carl something because Fiona's not home or we haven't started family. And Carl responds, why are you texting me? It's family night. Because they know that don't even try to call us on Monday night because it's family night. And that's what we've chosen to do. And everyone is different how they choose. But we need to schedule family time and say, you know what? I'm setting this side of time, this time aside for the family to rest. When we take time to rest, we can defeat the weariness that can come with ministry involvement. Hallelujah. The final area that I'll discuss where the enemy tries to wear us out, and there are probably more, but the ones I'm going to discuss tonight is it's with our interactions with others and standing up for what is right. Perhaps it's just a Christian living in a wicked world as we are doing and standing true to the Bible and what thus saith the word of the Lord with our coworkers, not taking part in the after work activities and having to face that and making a stand. Maybe it's a parent with their kids or a leader with those under them or maybe a mentor. Maybe you're mentoring somebody. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to them teachers having itching ears. In the last day, it says that folks will get people who teach or say what they want to hear. The enemy will try to wear us down so that we will compromise and be the ones that say those things that everyone wants to hear and not say, you know what, I don't do that or I don't go there. Sorry, coworkers, you're great coworkers, but I'm not going to go after work to the bar or wherever it may be for drinks. I won't drink, but no, it's we have to make a stand. There are going to be times as a leader or a parent, as a mentor or a Christian, that we are going to have to stand firm for what is right. Parents, you're the parents, you know I'm not a parent yet, but working with youth, I've observed a lot of things and kids will push for their way or they'll push for what they want to do. They'll challenge what we have said is right or wrong. It's too easy to give in to our kids whining and complaining about having to go to youth group. And what I've found is as a parent, if you give in at 12 and 13 and say, okay, no, don't worry about it, at 16 or 17 when you're really worried about the stuff they're being exposed to and you're wanting them to go, they're not going to go. And so it's a matter of standing firm, saying this is important. Or movies or video games. And well, all my friends, they're allowed to watch this. They're allowed to play that game. It's a hard, hard role, I can imagine, as a parent. I helped Mishanda a lot with Adrian. He's not in here, so I can embarrass him. He's in the youth group now. Anyways. It's a challenge. It's a challenge work. And he asks questions. Well, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And it can be tiresome. And it can be weary, and it can wear you out. Maybe people are pressing you to get involved in things after work. Maybe it's as a leader, people are pushing, or individuals will threaten their lack of support or their involvement. I'm not going to be involved if I don't get my way, or we don't do something like this, or do this. And we need to stand firm. We do the individual or the child or the one we're mentoring no favor. We don't do them any good if we back off the stance, off being firm on doctrine, on holiness, on about expectations of how you act in ministry or expectations as a kid in this home. This is what we do, and here's the line that we as parents draw. It does no good to say next week, like, well, I know I said that, but you've been pestering me about this one video game, so I'll let you just do this one time. Because they've won. They'll know, okay, next time I just got to keep pushing, because there's going to be a point where they'll say, finally, okay, I'm tired. Fine, just do what you want. And we have to stand firm. We have to stand our ground because it's good, best for them. As we interact with others, we have who have contrary views against what is right, the enemy can move in and begin to wear us down, wear on our beliefs, on our convictions, on our morals, on the doctrine. And the enemy wants to give into those temptations to wear us out. And so what's our response? Simply, once again, taking a step back, look at the big picture. Because we are facing some spiritual battles, and we need to stand firm. We need to continue to fight and not compromise. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, this is where Scripture talks about the armor of God. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And it goes on with all the armor that we should put on. This is a spiritual battle. With kids, I believe it's a spiritual battle. The enemy, like putting on your kids to be tempted to watch this movie, it's, as a parent, it's your responsibility to say, this is the line in our home. As a leader, it's, this is a line in our ministry. As a mentor, this is the line of how you should act as a grow. As a Christian, this is the line I will stand for at work and not sway from the. It is a spiritual battle for ourselves to wear us out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so maybe we need to, when there are issues, we need to take them aside and say this and this and this and reaffirm those boundaries, those lines, those fences that we have set in our homes, in our ministries, in our workplaces, as us individually. This is the things. And take a step back, look at the end picture, say, you know what? I know who wins at the end of the book. And so I'm not going to remove my stance because I'm going a direction. The way to heaven is straight. The way is narrow, and it's not broad and just anything that anybody wants to hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would stand with me and the musicians come. The goal of the enemy is to wear us out, church. To wear us out in just life. To wear us out when we're facing trials and situations in our lives. To wear us out through our ministry involvement. To wear us out through our interaction with others or our families or those at work or those in ministry. Those we're responsible for. But we can fight that battle with the help of the Lord. We don't have to be weary. And if we're facing any one of these situations, all it is just our response. You know what, God? I'm feeling weary. But Lord God, I want to be thankful. I want to be grateful, God. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, just let me spend some time in your presence, God. Let me just soak up your presence, God. Lord, help me to embrace the trial. To, Lord, grow in you, to gain that spiritual muscle. Lord, help me to take a step back and look at the bigger picture of ministry and the involvement and realize, Lord, it's all for you. God, I'm doing it for you, Lord Jesus. Maybe it's taking a step back and saying, you know what? I've got to take a stance in my life, in my home, in my workplace. We don't have to be weary with the Lord on our side. With his strength, his Holy Spirit, we can be strong in him. We don't have to wear out. Amen. As the praise singers begin to sing, if you're sick in your body, you're weary physically, and you need a touch of the Lord, I want to encourage you to come on your left side up here, and there'll be ministers to pray with you. If you are facing some trials or situations that you just can't, have not been able to get through, to manage, come in the center. There'll be ministers to pray with you and help you pray for the situations. If you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, well, that's the first start to get that peace, to get that comfort, to get that rest in your life. And I want to encourage you, come right down to the right side up here, and there will be, again, ministers to pray with you, folks to pray with you. Won't you come at this time? This area up front is open. We don't have to be weary. We can be thankful. We can be grateful. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, God.